Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life.
We're at a turning point, but I don't think the outcomes are all that unpredictable, are they? I'm Maggie Dawn.
I don't think so.
You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm joined by a special guest co-host every Thursday. His name's Tom Paulswith. For Congress twice. He owns a small business. And he's a Navy veteran and an all-around reasonable and very nice man. We are talking about the confirmation hearings, especially those of Pete Hegseth and Pam Bondi. I think Bondi was better than Hegseth. Hegseth was so dripping with contempt. She was just so avoidant of the actual questions.
I personally think that's worse. It's like, you know, Pete Hegseth was willing to just say, look, this is the way I think it should be, and you either agree with me or don't. Pam Bondi was like, I'm just not going to tell you anything about what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
You're going to find out when we do whatever we do.
I have such a visceral reaction to the contemptuousness.
Yes.
Because both as a lawyer and as someone that has testified before countless governmental committees and legislative oversight bodies, I have always acted with a deep reverence and respect for those that have questioned me. When a judge starts talking, I stop talking. When a legislator started asking me a question or would interrupt me, I would stop talking. And the only exception to that rule is if they were impugning my professional integrity in some way, right?
Yes.
And that's when I would say, all right, well, now we're going to have a little tete-a-tete. In all other circumstances, I was extraordinarily deferential. I could think their question was dumb, off base, totally lame, but my attitude was one of deference to the function, the office that they held, if not the individual. What I find, so I have this, like, there's a part of me that Pete's tone, also as a man, sort of pulling that off as he derides Senators Duckworth as well as Slotkin, that just sticks in my craw in a way that Pam Bondi's performance didn't.
And the way he speaks to women.
Yes. About them, to them.
To them. Right. It is like, he had the gall to say that he would treat people fairly no matter who they are, sex, gender, color, race, doesn't matter. Right. And then you can see it in his answers and his, you know, but this is, you know, this is an extension. This is like the right arm of Donald Trump, right? It comes straight from the way Donald Trump thinks about how to project power. And that's why he was picked.
Yeah, it's I've heard from two of our texters now, and I just want a hat tip to our conservatives that do text in or call. Mark from Sussex, as well as, where did my other friend go? I think Mark from Sussex recently saying the questions that were asked of Pete Hegseth about his very checkered personal past, like, have you sexually assaulted someone? Have you entered into a settlement where you've sexually assaulted someone? The characterization I'm getting is petty. By the way, Senator Hirono asks those questions of every nominee. So check yourself on that, Mark. She asks that of every nominee, and it's gosh darn damn well time that every nominee gets asked questions about that.
Yes.
Given the epidemic of violence against women in this country. But probing someone's character, their drunkenness, their past personal behavior that draws into question both their judgment and character, especially given that he allegedly did many of these things in the course of social outings involving his work,
yes,
is not petty.
And
it's
more importantly,
relevant.
Not that long ago.
Yeah, it's right? This was 20
right.
years
it wasn't
ago.
Ancient history. And I think one of the opportunities that the Democrats missed was to ask him what he's actually done as a
to
person.
To make amends for that behavior.
To not even make amends, but change himself. Like, what has he actually worked on? because all he's done is promise to stop drinking. And that's not, I've already done things. This is, I haven't taken any steps.
Well, you know what the answer to that would be?
I already know, but I would like it on record.
By the Lord God, Jesus Christ, my Savior. And which is like, I believe in the genuineness. Like, I'm not going to question someone's genuine faith expression, but it's like, that's great. So you prayed on it. What else? What are the concrete actions?
What else did you do? Right. Because this is not ancient history. This is 2017 and after. So.
So we're going to go to the phones in just a second. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. But I want to take this longer cut from Senator Slotkin and Mark from Sussex. This one's for you, because what she is asking him about wasn't in this category of petty things that you objected to. We need to listen to all of this. And this is going to run just probably under four minutes. So we're going to take 3A and then 3B right away, Cardi. So let's run both of those back to back.
Secretary of Defense, you will be the one man standing in the breach should President Trump give an illegal order, right? I'm not saying he will, but if he does, you are going to be the guy that he calls to implement this order. Do you agree that there are some orders that can be given by the commander in chief that would violate the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, thank you for your service. But I reject the premise that President Trump is going to be giving illegal orders.
No, I'm not saying he will. But if do you believe there is such a thing as an illegal order that Joe Biden or any other president, Donald Trump, could give? Is there anything that a commander in chief could ask you to do with the uniformed military that would be in violation of the U.S. Constitution?
Senator, anybody of any party could give an order that is against the Constitution or against the law.
Right. Okay. So, and are you saying that you would stand in the breach and push back if you were given an illegal order?
I start by saying I reject the premise that President
Trump
will be giving any illegal orders at all.
My this isn't a hypothetical. Okay. Your predecessor in a Trump administration, Secretary Esper, was asked and did use uniformed military to clear unarmed protesters. He was given the order to potentially shoot at them. Helos flew low in Washington, D.C. as crowd control. He later apologized publicly for those actions. Was he right or wrong to apologize?
Senator, I was there on the ground. And I saw the
I understand, and
myself.
I respect that.
I've been there.
But you're about to
the
be the Secretary of Defense.
That was involved in that moment. I
was
also
he
understand
right to, so he was,
legality
was he,
and the Constitution.
Sir, was he right or wrong to apologize?
I'm not going to put words in the mouth of Secretary Esper
no,
or anybody else.
He said them himself. You don't have to. What are you scared of? Did he do the right thing by apologizing?
I'm not scared of anything, Senator.
Then say
I'm
yes or no. You can say no.
The laws and the Constitution
okay.
in any
so
particular
Donald
scenario.
Trump asked for the active duty 82nd Airborne to be deployed during that same time. Secretary Esper has written that he convinced him against that decision. If Donald Trump asked you to use the 82nd Airborne in law enforcement roles in Washington, D.C., would you also convince him otherwise?
I'm not going to get ahead of conversations I would have with the okay. president. However, there are laws and processes inside our Constitution that would be foul.
President Trump said in November that he is willing to consider using the active duty military against the, quote, enemy within. Have you been personally involved in discussions of using the U.S. military active duty inside the United States?
Senator, I'm fine. I'm glad we finally got to the topic of border security equaling national security, because it's been abdicated and ignored for the last 4 years.
That wasn't my question. I'm just
not
asking, have you been involved? You're about to be the Secretary of Defense, potentially. Have you been involved in discussions about using the active duty military inside the United States?
Senator, I am not yet the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
If confirmed, I would be party to any number of
conversations. So you haven't been in any of these
which
conversations?
Which I would not reveal what I have discussed with the President of the United States.
No, just have you been in conversations? You're going to be in charge of 3 million people, the active duty that I know you care about, I believe you care about. So have you been in conversations about using the active duty in any way, whether it's setting up in detention camps, policing dangerous cities? Have you been involved in any of those conversations?
Certainly, I have been involved in conversations relating to doing things this administration has not, which is secure the southern border and not allow floods of illegals
so
to enter
you,
our country so, through an invasion
okay.
that threatens the American people.
Okay, okay,
and there are
I got
ways
it.
In which the military is already playing a role in that, to include 5,000 National
Do
Guardsmen
you believe
from
U.S.
We're at the border right now, allowing for border
will
security.
You
so
ask
there is plenty
the active
of precedent
duty military,
for military
to
members
staff detention
our
centers.
Southern border.
Our U.S. military is not trained in law enforcement.
It goes on.
It goes
like
on,
this.
Yes.
And her point is pretty basic.
Yes.
And that is, there has been always an absolute bright line that most modern secretaries of defense understand is the bright line. You do not deploy active duty military against U.S. citizens. You do not place them into the role of law enforcement. That is not the role. That is not petty. Those are Mark from Sussex saying, great answer, Pete. She's not talking about border security, which nope. would not be deploying the military against actual American citizens. She is talking about deploying the military against protesters.
Yes.
So no,
or the enemy, or the enemy
from
within. List.
The press, me, yes. Tom Paulsiewicz, the Civic Media Building headquarters,
yes.
Mark from Sussex, other conservatives. You can applaud the line about the border, but he leaves unanswered the question that should be on the forefront of your mind, Mark from Sussex, and every American's: who decides who is the enemy from within? Because that can change from administration to administration. But the standard that political disagreement and the expression of political disagreement cannot be met with military force by active duty members of the military is sacrosanct. That's what she was asking him, and that is what he refused to answer. Not petty and not about the southern border. Tom, your other reactions.
Yeah, and it was interesting to hear him go on and say he rejects the premise of the question when she actually define the question very well. This wasn't yes. about Donald Trump. This wasn't about Joe Biden. This was any president. And he still refused to answer. And more importantly, he refused to answer whether he's had any talks with the incoming president about this particular subject, which leads me to believe he already has.
Yes. Obviously, and, his right. non-answers to a gamut of questions indicated yes, yes answers. Folks, we're going to go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Rich from Waukesha, welcome to the show. What do you have to say, sir? Thanks for your patience.
I did some research. I know it's just library stuff through the years. Are you with Rudy Giuliani, are you familiar with a movie called Rob the Mob?
I'm not. Tell me more.
I got it out of the library, and it's done around 2017. It was released, roughly.
Okay.
And it's a story that goes on during the trial of John Gotti in New York. And this individual, it's a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde, where this individual and this woman start robbing the mob.
Mob. Is there going to be some iteration of that in the Trump administration? Who knows? Who's the mob? Who's Bonnie and Clyde? All to be determined. Let's see. Eric from Madison, we're going to take your call. Right? Do we have time? I think we might have just enough time. You got about a minute, Eric from Madison. Take your crack at it, sir.
That's too short. Hi, Maggie and co-host. The Swedish guy from Sussex said, oh, Trump can choose whoever he wants. I'm Swedish, by the way, and I have enough common sense to know that the Senate has oversight, and he can't just install people.
Yeah, that's the point. This argument was made yesterday. I said, no, presidents don't have a right to appoint whomever they want. It's with the advice and consent of the Senate. That's the balance of powers. We're going to continue this discussion. Eric, if you have more to say, hang on the lines. You want to join this great discussion, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll take some of that Pam Bondi sound, get more of your reactions after these brief messages. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.